Well, today is the feast day of an apostle. Today, the church marks the providential purposes of God, who in choosing Matthias to take the place of Judas Iscariot, illustrates clearly that no one or nothing can thwart the purposes of God. Think about it this way. Jesus had carefully chosen the 12. Because he is both fully God, because he is fully man, because he knows Scripture from beginning to end, he would have had insight into Judas and his diabolical machinations. And yet, Jesus chose him. I love the way St. Teresa puts it, that God writes straight with crooked lines. This part of the apostolic narrative shows that this is indeed true. Now, I don't think you can, and I know I can't, fully understand why Jesus would have permitted one with such evil intent to be privy to the inner life of the 12, just as we cannot understand how evil affects our own lives, or how evil affects the life of the societies in which we live, and yet it is permitted. So often it seems that evil is given free rein. But here's the point that this feast day celebrates. Evil is malignant, and it is seemingly limitless, but it's not. Peter makes this clear in the words of his speech in the upper room between the Ascension and Pentecost. And here, St. Peter shows how Judas's actions were foreshadowed in two psalms from the Old Testament, Psalms 69 and 109. And he quotes both of these psalms. In Psalm 69, verse 25, Peter uses this psalm to explain why Judas was removed. And then in Psalm 109, verse 8, he shows how this psalm anticipates the replacement of Judas. So let me quote those two verses from the Psalms again. From Psalm 69, Peter said, "Let his homestead become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it." And then from Psalm 109, "Let another take his position as an overseer." Now I'm going to be honest with you. Psalm 69 and 109 are two of the Psalms I least enjoy reading, because they are called imprecatory psalms. They curse the enemies of God. In both of these psalms, the righteous man groans in agony over the treachery of the wicked. And here, Peter reads them messianically. Remember that principle? That the New Testament is contained in the Old, and the Old is revealed by the New? This is a clear example of that principle. And as Peter interprets these psalms messianically, he shows how the suffering psalmist prefigures the suffering betrayal of Christ and his enemies. We cannot live in this world if we will not name evil for what it is. And this is exactly what Peter does in the upper room. But having named evil, he then goes on to express the criteria necessary for one who will take Judas's place. Listen again to part of what St. Peter says. "So one of the men who have accompanied us during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken from us, one of these men must become a witness to what? To the resurrection." Here's the wonderful truth of this passage. To be an apostle meant that you had to be there from the time that Jesus was baptized through to his ascension. You saw the whole thing. But what Peter underscores is to be a witness to the resurrection. Why to the resurrection? Because the resurrection is that event that declares evil loses, goodness wins. Evil loses, goodness wins. The resurrection of Jesus is the event that tells us that in a world like this, that can be so disorientating because evil is vile. It is. It's awful. But the resurrection tells us that evil is not the ultimate victor. Remember, Jesus was still in the world for 40 days after his resurrection. And one of the things if he will allow me to, when I finally, I hope, get to heaven, I'll say, Jesus, why in the world? You got 40 days. Why didn't you go to Caiaphas, the high priest? Why did you not go to Pontius Pilate and stick it to them? I mean, you could have done it, right? And that would have been the clear indication, you lose, I win. The devil loses, God wins. But he didn't do it that way. I hate that. Rather, the first thing he does is he appears to some women on Easter Sunday. Women. Women in that culture, their witness is worth absolutely nothing because they're not even considered human beings. And then he appears to the 11, and then he appears to St. Paul, and then St. Paul says in Corinthians 15, he appeared to 500 believers. And here's the deal. He said to them, okay, I want you to be the witnesses to the resurrection. That's your job. The purposes of God, both in allowing evil and then in declaring goodness victory, I wouldn't have done it that way. And you probably wouldn't have either. But we're not Jesus, we're not God, and this is the way he chose to do it. And here's the wonderful thing about this feast day. We don't know anything about Matthias, other than what St. Peter tells us here in Acts chapter 1. And the most important thing about Matthias is what we're told, that he was a witness to the resurrection. He was one of the people to whom Jesus gave the commission to tell the world about me. And the only reason we're here today is because Matthias and the others took Jesus at his word. They were willing, in a world filled with evil, to be witnesses to the resurrection and to the good. And that is our mission, that is our calling, and that is our purpose as 21st century Christians. One of my favorite hymns is called "This Is My Father's World." And my favorite verse of this favorite hymn of mine goes like this. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won. St. Matthias, pray for us that we may have this perspective on our lives, this perspective on the world, and with St. Teresa of Avila, may we understand that you do right straight with crooked lines.